How's it going now?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. This
My
is Two
cat's
Lords.
joined me. It's
Yeah,
great.
that's good. I don't know where my cat is. The other one's in heat now,
Oh,
so that's pretty
joy.
fun.
They've like swapped over.
Yeah.
It's like, it's my turn.
Yep. So now we have Batman. I don't know where Batman is right now. How have you been?
Not bad, not bad. The
Pretty
weather
good.
has been, it was like really hot, and then it was like
Yeah.
really cold the last 2 days,
Yeah.
and it was like, what?
You got your vaccine appointment. I got mine for next week
Yeah.
as well. So, hell yeah. One step closer to leaving.
To walking outside more.
Yeah. It's like,
Probably won't
oh.
be much more.
Yeah. Still have to wear a mask. It's like, yay. Okay. Yeah, that's about it. I got the weekend off coming up for Elder Scrolls Online, the new X-Pack.
The whole reason, book the weekend off. Gotta play ESO.
My boss originally, like, she like offered me some time off, and I was like, yeah, sure. She wanted to give me some time off before the busy times in June. So I picked the first weekend in June because I was like, well, new Elder Scrolls expansion comes out that day if nobody else can do anything. So that's what I'm doing, I guess. But that's fine. Not about that, anyways. Enough about that. We got a meaty episode for y'all today, episode 134. Now, quickly, a new Zelda amiibo for the HD remaster of Skyward
Whoa.
Sword is coming
That
out.
was announced like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna talk about it last week, but
We
totally forgot.
forgot.
Yep. But I know they're adding a really nice feature.
Yeah.
But it's going to be exclusive to the Amiibo. That's
Which
$40.
is a little. Wait, the Amiibo's 40 bucks?
It's $40 US.
Is that. That's. It just. Why is the amiibo so much more expensive?
Because it's bigger. It's like the
Oh, it's
cycle.
like the Guardian one or the
Yeah.
Pikachu. Oh,
Yeah.
okay. I didn't know that. I thought it was just a normal sized amiibo.
No, it's
That
a
makes
bigger
more sense
Amiibo.
because I think the Guardian one was kind of like that as well.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even notice that part. I just thought it was,
Okay.
oh, amiibo. I guess it does have
That's
the
why it's
word
just
on it.
kind of weird. It's like, hey, they're gonna do that, but give you like kind of quasi fast travel.
They're adding basically Ferrara's Wind, which is an item in Ocarina of Time. They're making that
You're not getting that, are you? Or are
amiibo.
you?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
I had assumed they would have done a similar thing with Twilight Princess. If you bought like the physical copy of the game, you could get like the Wolf Link amiibo with it, which
Oh.
is what I did. Because I think it was still just the normal game price, maybe like an extra 10 bucks on top, but like it was also a Wii U game, so they're still like 80 bucks anyways.
Yeah.
But like I did that and it added like a mini dungeon, which I don't even think I've played. Like so I got my payment out of that. I don't even know if I finished Twilight Princess HD. I played through like 90% of the game on like 4x damage and then just haven't touched it since. So, yo, that was a very fun challenge. Just playing it with 4x EXP. The second dungeon mini boss took me like 11 tries.
Oh,
And then I got like halfway through the game and one dude hit me for like 10 hearts of damage. And I was like, oh, thank God I've been collecting heart pieces because I had like 11 hearts. I was like, Jesus, he hit me once and I flew across the room and lost 10 hearts. I was like,
yeah.
wild.
Once I'm done with Epi 6, or once on my plate kind of goes down a little bit. Which it will be soon. I want to go back to A Link Between Worlds and actually finish
Yeah.
that up before the end of the
Kept
summer.
forgetting that.
Yeah,
You got to
so.
like the dark world and then you just kind of forgot about it.
Well, it was just kind of like, hey, here, do all this stuff in whatever order you want. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah, and you went to one dungeon like right away and then you just
Yeah.
did like a
And then I got
couple
like
rooms
halfway
and
through the
then gave
dungeon, so I
up.
was like, wow.
Oh
This
yeah, didn't
thing.
you had to like find like one more key or something and you just couldn't find
Nah,
it.
I'll find it.
I seem to remember there being one like w
Don't
really
worry,
awkward
I'll
thing in
be
that
using the
dungeon.
internet a little bit more when I play
Yeah.
it.
I remember that game being fairly straightforward as long as you're like observant. Then again, I mean, half time you're playing it in a situation where you're not very observant, so
yep,
maybe that doesn't help sometimes. Puzzle games with like added substances.
Oh shit, I blinked. Now I don't know where to go.
Oh god, there's one area where it's like a kind of like a depth of field thing where you're just falling.
Oh, no.
That's not going to be helpful.
Ugh. Yeah, no.
Or is that area optional?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's optional. We're just going right by. Anyways, now I'm also playing AC Valhalla because I got it on sale for $40. Thanks, Epic.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Anyways, Epi 6. A little bit of Epi 6, and then we're going to be doing our top 5 Fire Emblem 12 characters. Oh, 12 characters that I know Neil are super excited for. Oh, yes. Slash 3, I guess.
Yeah, there's like 7 or 8 characters in 3.
Yeah.
3 book 2. There's like a couple guys there. None of them have axes, but, you know, that's normal.
So yeah, I look forward to that where all of a sudden I become the master and explain my love for FE12.
And then I say, origin story. Okay, is that guy the exact same as enter any other character of similar class here? And that's gonna be like, well, no.
This is my origin episode, Neil, come on.
Your origin story?
Yeah. This is my origin episode of Fire Emblem 12.
I thought we weren't playing oranges this week.
Assassin's Creed Oranges? Oh, but I did play Valhalla, and that's a weird game. And then, I guess in about an hour, there's going to be a new mythic, so we're probably going to talk about that at the end of the show.
Boy.
So, maybe. Well, it depends. If it's like 2 hours and we're...
I don't think...
I'm still talking about male Chris.
2 hours, but... I don't think we're going to talk about male Chris for longer than...
Anyways, like, Neil, we played every six, but we played, like, one map, like, 6 times.
We played... Okay, so last week we explained how we did a map in 2 parts. So we did the second half of that map again.
Yep.
Gordon, I guess, had accidentally, at some point, clicked a button next to another button that auto-loads certain lore-friendly turn wheels.
Right,
it's just included in the game. So I guess there was an option to auto load those turn wheel saves, and it was just a mess. So we did two maps twice, which is just swell. It's a good thing we did two maps the one day, because today we were just doing another map again. Good news though. Q's alive in this timeline. If he was dead, he was dead in the last timeline. He's back. Wait, is anyone dead? Was he the first guy to die?
I think
I think everyone else is alive, so.
Okay.
It's deathless run, I guess.
Deathless run so far.
Deathless run.
Until we get to like the final map, Merlinus dies. It's like,
oh. Yeah. Fun fact, if Merlinus dies, he shows up next map. So, like, he doesn't die.
He's immortal.
He's got classic mode turned on.
Oh, I see.
Which is very useful, because the dude... like halfway through the game starts getting one shot by siege tomes. Thankfully they kind of they did something with that in FE7 where Merlinus levels up. Unfortunately though, they took away his wheels for like 90% of the game, so it's really
awkward.
I'm hoping they strike a balance in FE6 where
I hope he promotes
he starts with wheels and then maybe levels up like every 2 chapters instead, because the game is like 30 no it's not 30 it's like 24 is end game, there's like 6 guidance, so about 30 chapters long, so
yeah.
Maybe they strike some sort of balance where he starts like his level 15 tent or something. I don't know. They'll figure it out. I'm hoping he does get some levels so he doesn't get one shot by boltings. Because right now ours has like 25 HP and like zero res, so that's a little sketch. Unlike the dancers get tanky enough. But yeah, so we did castle again, but we'll skip by that because we already did that. We did the chapter that's in like six other games, including FE 11 and FE 8 grinding map. This was the original though, so it's fine. Yeah. That's a weird thing. One of the weirdest things to take from FE 6 to one map.
Like, this map
like FE6 copied a lot of things from FE5, but then this map was apparently their crowning achievement.
Yep.
It's kind of a long windy map. So we warp skipped it.
Yep.
They added some incentive, I guess, to warp skip it anyways. They added like a bunch of guys to not kill. So it was, and they made it a defeat boss. Which was so wild. We were prepared to use two warp staffs, and then we only needed one. I was like, boy, we saved a staff use.
We used Gonzalo's. That's sick. Super sketch.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, though, the Thrones only have 10 avoid in this game now. They just have higher defense, so it was a lot less of a threat. When I played that chapter, the Thrones are more buffed than they are in this game. So I walked up there and it was like, oh boy, my hit rate is like 60 at max with a fire tome from Lilina. Oh joy. So it wasn't that much of a pain. Supports helped me push past to kill the dude, but it was more of a pain for me. Also, I didn't warp skip it. So there's also no Roach, who's just there.
No.
Roach is not lore friendly. It doesn't help that like he's got the same portrait as like two other guys in the game, so
that doesn't help either. We got reinforce.
Yeah, reinforce, which we're probably gonna use on chapter 21, I think, because you got a big map. If we just add more green units, surely nothing will go wrong.
Yeah, nothing at all. It's like crashes the emulator.
I don't think it'll crash the emulator. I'm just worried that green units trigger reinforcement zones.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Which I should maybe figure out if they can do that or not. which I think I can, so maybe that'd be a good idea. You remember reinforcement zones in the other games, right? They have it in... Is it just 6 and 7? Maybe.
Yep.
Yeah, so they have one of those maps. I think it is just 6 and 7 that they have them. Weird. Okay. Or they might have 2 in FE8. I don't remember, but... Yeah, that's later. And then we did... what is it, like sandbar map? I guess that's what we call it. The first map of the Ilion route split.
Yeah.
And we got Loen because he's new.
Oh yeah.
Hello, I am Loen.
Hey, he put in work for one chapter.
Yeah, he put in work. He was like Trek, except since he was lower leveled than Trek or something, he was taking all the hits from Trek.
Yeah.
Like he just kept drawing all the attacks instead of Trek doing it. So I guess like, he's good.
It's like, oh, somebody worse than Trek.
Well, I don't think he was worse than Trek. It was just another Trek.
Yeah.
It's just, he probably except for
Trek and double. Like, he couldn't double.
Trek didn't double that guy.
No, Trek didn't double with the Gantlets.
He didn't double the Paladin.
Oh, yeah. I don't think
you're like, Trek can double. The only difference was Trek, I don't think, got doubled by the Falcon Knight. That was maybe it. That's all I remember. Yeah, Loen was okay. It's kind of, you know, okay.
He looks really goofy.
Yeah, he's like a great knight now. So what they did was they made Loen like, they put him in bulkier armor and gave him like a stubble. And then they called him like 15 years older.
Yep.
So now he's like 30 something? Jeez. Yeah, dude's got to be in his 30s. At least. It's weird.
Yeah.
Do you think he's younger than Elwood? No way. Because Elwood's like 17, right?
Yeah.
Because Elwood and Hector are 17. So he'd have to be like 16 or something to be younger.
Yeah.
Because he looks a lot healthier, at least, than Elwood in this game.
Yeah.
Like but that might just because Elwood's sick. But he does. Elwood looks a little older as well.
He has the plague.
I don't know. It's not really the plague.
Yo,
he's just what if, got like a bedhead or something.
What if Fire Emblem 6, alright? So hear me out. Kago is in like the boardroom with all these other writers for Fire Emblem. They're like, alright.
Kago's gone. He left after 5.
Somebody else. Somebody else was like, alright, we need to live up to Kago. You know, and here, how about instead of Elwood succumbing to just a random sickness, he gets turned into a zombie and it becomes a zombie game?
Yeah, I don't think so, because in the next game they wrote that illness to affect all of Hector's family. So
yeah,
it's like, they wrote mysterious plague. It's like, well, why didn't Hector die? Armad's curse. Okay,
has to die in battle. Hey, cat, get away from the microphone, please.
Sure. So, does this affect Lilina? Just don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine.
She's a chick. She's safe.
I'll sacrifice her in the final chapter.
No, that's not how it works. She has lines after the like the final blow.
We gotta sacrifice Trek in the end. Like, he held them all.
Over the end to Trek. See, there's that one map where I said I used Lilina a bunch. We'll just put Trek there and see how he works out. Trek against the wall of druids. I'm sure it'll go fine. Trek's got like 13 res or something compared to Lilina's like 28. I'm sure he'll do just as good, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Just Trek with a javelin.
that's about it, Neil. For FE6.
Yeah. We threw Gonzalez in the arena.
Oh yeah.
It was fun to realize just how much damage Gonzalez takes from people. His HP goes down really, really fast when, like, mages do half his health and damage in one hit.
It's like, oh, shit.
This is getting awkward with 0 defense and 60 hit points. It's not really working. Like, he only has, like, what, 10 defense as well?
Yeah.
Or actually, it might be 13. I think he had 10 just before promotion. Yeah.
How many talismans do we have?
We don't have enough to buy. We don't have enough money to buy all these talismans. We gotta buy boots. We gotta go shoe shopping.
True, because everybody's getting a pair of boots.
I mean, we could put more than one pair of boots on people, right? I mean, Roy's horse has got 4 legs.
What's the max move?
No.
Okay, hear
it's
me
undeterminately.
Out. Okay, hear me out. Elfin with max.
I think what we do is I think there's I'll have to check the deployment slots for the last map, but I think we give boots to all of the people that we're probably gonna use in the final map.
Yo, I found I found Bartry's gimmick. He can make a max move with his hammer.
He has a gimmick. He has an axe. He's got that super axe. Whoa, wait. Do you think that axe might be nice in the final map? I wonder if he can one round dragons with that axe instead of a worm slayer. Because obviously, I think Armad is going to Wade probably, right? And then
probably
a lot's gonna get Murglies. I guess we figure out if Bartray can one round with the Relax. If actually we might not even have slots for Bartray. That's gonna be awkward.
It's all right. We'll just use somebody
else. Like, I mean, we're probably deploying Wendy over Bartray, right?
Probably.
I guess also Wendy can just use any random bow, so like we don't need to worry about her.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we'll have a weapon for her, because I'm assuming like either Lance or Al, or not Lance, Alan or Trek's gonna get Multet. And then I guess Fear's our only sword wielder.
No, Trek already has his purse.
He's gonna have those perfs, right? And then we're gonna use them for carrying people, because everyone's a fucking dragon, so he's not gonna do much. We'll give him the C rank and swords, and then he can have a worm slayer.
Yeah, there we go.
Problem solved.
Gatlance, go.
I think there are some non-dragons added, so maybe it'll be useful there.
Speaking of Trek, Trek's perf, we got a
Tino's staff, which is just a mediocre staff that's like worse than mend but better than heal. I think it's like an in-between staff with the same uses as heal, so it's like, I guess we have this thing.
Trek can't use it, so he gave it to Lilina instead.
Yeah. We're like, hey, we can just put it on Lilina, and then she'll never need another staff probably for the rest of the game, right?
And at least it's pretty useless.
I mean, she has the magic stat probably to back it up compared to like the other two, right? So I guess it's better. We need to break those heal staves, though. I don't know why we have those things. I'm like, wait a minute. Why do we have the heal staves now? Clarine had to heal Gonzalez like 3 times to top him up. I was like, whoa. This is wasting turns. It's being spooky.
It's fine, because we actually like ran it like optimally the second time.
Yeah, okay. The second time we ran it, I don't remember level up wise, but I think Roy got a really good one, which I think Roy got like one level and it was like HP strength luck or something. It was like, but now he got like HP strength and like almost a perfect level, everything but res. And it's like, well, that's a lot better than last time. And he was doubling this time, which doesn't make sense because he didn't level speed at all last time. So I don't know why he was doubling this time. It just went a lot smoother this time. I'm not entirely sure why. Maybe like Lowen, I guess it was just because Fear wasn't there and we weren't risking Fear's death like every other turn. That was interesting, but she dodged every time, it's not like it was a problem. We didn't have Fear Factor today. We just had Fear doing stuff at like the other side of the map for some reason.
With Wendy. And then
I think it was just because Wendy didn't kill it.
Wendy was gonna get overwhelmed. She needed backup.
Well, no, it was like there was a Valkyrie, and the Valkyrie was threatening Merlina, so you threw Fear at her to kill the Valkyrie, and then we did other stuff, I think. So I don't know.
Go, Fear.
Fear like ran down for some reason to kill like a mage, and then everyone else left. I was like, oh, okay.
I was like, yes, let's just get this kill. Anyways, Neil, Fire Emblem 12.
Oh joy!
And Fire Emblem 3. Neil, care to explain your backstory with said games?
I played half of FE12 in high school, I think I played some of it during an English class when we were watching a movie.
Nice.
I think it was The Great Gatsby. This is a weird backstory. And then I stopped. And then before my PC died, I think I just ran through the ending so I could say, hey, I did it. And it was kind of boring.
Yay.
And then I played FE3 this last summer, I think, right?
Yeah.
And that was so much better than FE12. I was astonished. The music was better. The star shards were a lot memeier. It had, like, FE9 inventory, which was weird. It had dismounting, which was also kind of weird.
Yeah.
I didn't play book one, but that's there. It's not in FE12.
Yeah. Nice. That's a good backstory. So mine's a little different. So, Neil, as you may know, some listeners may not know, my very first Fire Emblem game was not FE12. It was actually FE7, like pretty much everybody else in the West. But the first Fire Emblem game I ever beat was Fire Emblem 12, New Mystery of the Emblem.
That doesn't seem like a game would have been your first one to beat. There's like some really crazy like dark druids in some of those last maps.
Yeah, yeah.
They just don't worry. Exist on normal mode?
Well, I just save scum.
Oh, okay.
I also like, I killed off a lot of characters in my first playthrough because I didn't really like. That was one of my, like, my friend told me, "Oh, you like permadeath? You're gonna love this." So for me, it's like, "Oh man, I lost my archer. Time to use this other archer."
FE12 supplied you with a lot of replacements.
It's like, all right, here we go.
And it was cool. The best part about it is all of them have pretty much the same growths, anyways.
And then you can like reclass. It was a fun game. It was a very unique game back in the day. The way I played it,
especially because you had to figure out how to translate it. Which just sounds.
Oh wait, like, well, my friend just sent me the English wrong.
You? Cool.
Yeah, he just sent it to
so
me.
So you've been getting people to translate it for you for years now.
I played it on the keyboard as well. I remember that.
I mean, I played lots of games on the keyboard, lots of the emulators before.
Yeah, I put Pokemon on the keyboard a lot.
Yeah. Now I'm playing on controller because now I can just lean back in my chair. And it's like, I'd rather lean back than use a keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Me too. But yeah, the Fire Emblem 12. It wasn't like the first game that I've seen. Like, it was the first game I personally beat. But it wasn't the first game I saw get beat, if that makes sense. One of my friends finished Fire Emblem 7 with me. And I was like, oh. He's like, yeah, this was really good.
I don't even remember the first one I beat. I don't.
Oh, yeah. That's probably FE8.
No, I don't even think so. I think I beat that one quite a while after.
Yeah. And then, like, Fire Emblem 12 to me is like, oh, when people say, oh, have you heard of Fire Emblem? I go, oh. Yeah, that one to Chris, you know, and they're like, who? And it's like, yeah, the Avatar.
And then like, all of a sudden, Robin, he was worse.
The better Robin.
No.
Yes.
Like, if you had like a tier list for the Avatars, I mean, he's not at the bottom, but he's pretty close. I don't know who I put at the bottom. Male Korin, if I can separate it.
Male.
Because female Korin's higher up.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm putting female Chris way at the top.
Nah.
Above them all. I think I lost my
code. Can we put Mark at the bottom?
Mark? Yeah. Yeah, fuck Mark.
Mark's only like, he's only like acknowledged at weird fourth wall breaking parts of the game where like the main character looks towards the front of the screen.
Yeah, it's like
oh, a different portrait. This is weird.
It's like thank you for playing our video game. It's like, oh, thanks, Ellowood.
That's pretty much the end game. Oh, you're leaving? Well, this is weird. I wonder why. Maybe because we ran out of games.
Fire Emblem 12 has, to me, a weird, wacky cast of characters that I quite enjoy.
Very little dialogue for anything.
Oh, yeah. One of them was, like, not my first quote-unquote waifu. That goes to Riku from Final Fantasy X-2, but somebody close to that. So yeah, look forward to that. Anyways, Neil, You have an honorable mention? Because I have one.
I have two. I have Nagi because I forgot. Yeah. And I have Nagi there because I really liked using Tiki as a dragon in FE3 and Nagi's not there. she's like adult Tiki before adult Tiki was a thing. So that's kind of cool. I don't remember if I used her in FE12. I might have. I don't remember, though. But, I mean, she's available, and she's, like, pre-built right before endgame you get her. So that's nice.
And yeah, then she's nice if you have the slots.
Yeah, you probably have the slots. I think they give you extra deployment slots for the last, like, couple maps.
Yep.
Because yeah, they like to do that in the game. And then you're filling those slots with, like, Basilio, and you're like, he's just here. Like,
do you use Frost, though?
No, Frost's, like, a couple chapters back. You have a lot more units in between that and Endgame and Frost.
Yeah, but
Frost. And then I also have Rescue Staff. I mean, Yumina in FE3. Yeah. So in FE3, the Rescue Staff is exclusive to Yumina.
Yep.
Which isn't as bad as you think, because you only get two healers in that game before, you know, promotions. So I burnt through that Rescue Staff in maybe like three maps, and I had like one more use left and was like, oh, you can't Hamurn staffs in this game. Well, this is awkward. I should probably hold on to this in case it becomes important. I think I used it on the final map, because I was like, oh, well, I guess I didn't need the Rescue Staff anywhere. I'm gonna just use it to get someone forward or something. So that helped, like, maybe, probably? I don't know. It was there. Is it weird to put that person here? It's like putting Tina on your favorite five list because they have, like, the Thief Staff.
So, yes, Tina.
The Thief Staff, my favorite character in FE5. The Unlocked Staff is a nice bonus.
Anyways, Neil, my honorable mention, staying true to my now tradition of not putting the avatars on the list. We got the one and only Chris, the best avatar in the game, in Fire Emblem Heroes. I mean,
I'll give you this. Chris is the best avatar in FE12.
I mean,
you said he's the best avatar in the game. He's the only one in that game.
He's the best avatar in the franchise. There we go. Hell yeah.
Nope. There's other ones that exist.
This game is so stupid.
Is such a good avatar.
This is why I love this game, is that it's so dumb, where Chris can just like be this like stupid self-insert.
It's not even like a self-insert in the way like Byleth, how he doesn't talk at all.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Like, I kind of wish he didn't talk at all.
Yeah, it's like half Harrison.
The time he's just like saying, "Oh my gosh, Marth, you're amazing," and the other half he'd be doing something dumb like, "Huh, I wonder why Katarina's done all this weird stuff and not once fought with us. That's weird."
Katarina, what are you doing?
And then he has to talk to Katarina like what, three times to recruit her. Dude, it takes, like, Sita, like, one talk to recruit how many units? Same thing with Marth. And it takes you, like, three conversations to recruit one person? Oh, boy. Oh, boy, he's not pulling his weight. Or her.
Did you know that they have two different endings? There's a bad ending quote.
Great.
And a true ending quote. So here's the true ending. Not much is written about Chris in the pages of history. However, many speak highly of the time they spent alongside whom they called Althea's finest knight.
Can I just do the opposite? Speak people spoke poorly about their time and acquaintance.
And then the bad ending. Not much is written about Chris in the pages of history. However, there are whispers of a knight who gave their life to save Marf, or whom served him to the bitter end.
That doesn't sound that bad. My favorite bad ending is Marx, where to this day historians look back and question how these incomprehensible strategies ever led to victory.
Oh yeah, that one's good.
His title is like, what is it? It's Mark Suspect Mind. Like, they're just like wondering if the dude's right in the head to suggest such weird strategies. Like, I wonder if bringing our level 5 Rebecca to the final map was a good idea or not. At least she carried the vulneraries.
Here's another really fun quote for Chris versus Medius. It's I have come this far just for this moment. My death means nothing, for Prince Marf will create a bright future for us all. As long as I have that hope, I'll fight on. I'll come at you with everything I've got.
Yes.
Yes.
Marf, do you require a more royal cockstroking?
Yeah. It's like, as long as I have Mark. Oh my god, it's so bad. Like, here's the thing, okay? I know FE12 is bad.
But you know what? Greg, I found this mod that might fix a lot of the problems with FE12. See, it's a game that takes a lot of the things in FE12 and just reverts to FE3. Like removing Chris.
No! That's a good part.
I'm pretty sure it removes Chris. It also gives a lot more dialogue that was designated to Chris back to characters like Jagan, you know, who got like his dialogue taken away by Chris.
Come on. No, they got rid of the best part of the game.
I think it removes reclassing.
Another fun fact about Chris:
it removes the prologues, the best part.
Did you know, Neil, that if you pick female Chris, you get 5 more support?
Yeah, and it's with all male archers. That's a weird thing. It's like you just get like 5 more male archer support. It's like Ryan, Gordon, Wolfs, and like George or something. And it's like, this is weird.
Yeah, why Warren, George, Horace.
Yo, Horace?
Speaking of Horace, Neil, you're number 5.
Alright, number 5, I have Horace.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yes!
I was like, please tell me I put him at number 5. Yes!
We got there.
So I have Horace down. So in like public school, I read a book and there was a character named Horace.
So that's why you put him in.
That's part of the reason.
I hate you so much. Neil, he joined the chapter. I mean, yeah, fair enough. It's a good name.
I liked his name, and I was like, oh, well, they both are, like, you know, kind of knights. Like, the dude in the book, I'm pretty sure, is, like, a dude in, like, a bunch of armor. I think he was, like, a knight.
Yep.
I don't remember very much. It was a long time ago, and he was, like, not quite the main character. But, like, you know, he was, like, a strong side character for some books.
Well, now,
well, Horace. Other stuff. Horace is, like, general. Reclass him to, like, a wyvern or something, and then he can be kind of useful?
Yeah.
I seem to remember his
you gotta
pretty good.
You do have to finish chapter 12 with 15 units or less in your army, so...
In like, Shadow Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
In FE12, he's in the map with like
10x
5 legions.
Oh, right.
He's in the first map where you have to fight more than one legion, and one of them is the boss.
Got some pretty good growth rates, I'm not gonna lie. You know, 30% speed.
Okay.
You know?
Are you looking at FE12 or
FE12?
Okay, yeah. So look at like the next general and realize they're probably almost the exact same. Because everyone in that game's got, like, good growths in, like, you know, the area you would expect. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Except for Paula. Paula's really slow for some reason.
Yeah.
Paula's got like 30 speed, doesn't she? It's like, oh, okay. Like it's like 30 or 40, which is like really low for a Pegasus. But like it's like his defense is like 50 or something, right? And strength's around 50. It's like a lot of characters just kind of get lodged in that area. Like aside from Paula, I think every single Pegasus Knight has like between 60 and 80 skill and speed growths.
So like, now if Horus showed up in Fire Emblem Heroes,
he's probably just gonna be like a general with a lance, and that's it.
He has Cyper Card. He has one.
Yeah, I think it's him with a lance.
Yeah, like, just be like Lance.
I don't know. He kind of looks like they tried to add Hector back with like a little more like not obvious that it's trying to be kind of like Hector, because he's got like a bunch of characteristics that are similar, but they put him in like all white armor. Yeah. Maybe he's supposed to be like a merge of like Marth, like a Sable Knight, and just a general. Because he's kind of like just Marth in like big white armor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I don't know. Well, he's there because they added him in FE and Shadow Dragon. They needed to bring him back in 12, so he shows up in one of those assassin maps, I guess is what they're called. I'm there. If whenever we do a draft, maybe I'll try to pick him just because it's like, hey, it's Horus.
Horus,
I can bring him along. He's number five because it goes to show, like, me looking back, it's like, wow, I used a lot of just FE1 guys in my FE3 playthrough, didn't I? Weird. Right, didn't now. Help that like all the they didn't add any new flyers aside from one, but like he's like kind of secret, so yeah, it doesn't help.
All right, Neil, my number five, chapter 21 of the Mystery of the Emblem.
I don't know the chapter.
The Wyrnsdale.
Oh, I know. It is.
It's a big map.
Speaking of secret flyers, he's in that map.
Yeah, he is. So, yeah, Ymir, the frost giant Ymir, is like called, you know?
He's not a frost giant, he's a rock clan man, isn't he?
He's a warrior.
Yeah. Is he here giant because he gives the animal hat to Chris? Is that the reason he's here? Because you only get him for, like, one map, and then you put him on the bench because he's, like, a warrior, right?
Yeah, he's a warrior, but he's got a killer bow.
Does he?
Yeah, and a silver axe.
I'm surprised he has bow rank.
Useful. Yeah. He only has C-ranking bow, but, you know.
Well, yeah, that's enough to wield a killer bow. I don't think
he But, you know, he gets...
If you put him into sniper, I don't know if he can go into sniper, but that would be B-ranking bows.
Yeah. He gives Chris a very important hat. It's just the wolf hat.
You know he was in FE, he was in Shadow Dragon as well for like,
yeah, he is.
He's in the last Gaiden map and it's like a really boring one because it's just a bunch of long bridges in lava, which doesn't really make a lot of sense for it to be in the game, but it is.
Yep. Yeah, Ymir, he's honestly, I just really like his design, like personal choice. I kind of like his like Norse look. And again, the stupid hat that he gives them.
I like how the hat's at least different depending on the gender. It's like a husky hat if it's like a female or something. And if it's a male, isn't it like a raccoon or something? Like one of those like state-of-the-art like, yeah. North American hats or whatever.
Yeah, like raccoon hunting.
And then it's
hats,
just like a dog head if you're like female Chris. It's like dog hat.
Yeah, that's in Heroes.
Yeah, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. Have that on my female Chris.
I'm pretty sure it's female Chris's accessory, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't remember what male Chris gave. I think it was like a mask or something.
Ymir, like, honestly, if they want to add a random person to like a Heroes game, as like
Hear me out.
They do a Fire Emblem Warriors game, Warriors 2, all right?
A secret character. They would add Gonzalez before they added Ymir.
Yeah, probably.
I think Gonzalez has a lot more.
A secret character is female Chris. And then, in that event, you can talk
There's
to one random
There's a picture
dude.
Frame. If you look through the guard windows and you shoot an arrow, it pops out a rupee, but behind there, if you noclip, you can see a picture of Ymir.
Yeah, yeah. And then you can play as Ymir for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, he shows up in like an end ending screen.
Fire Emblem Fighting Game.
Yeah,
he's a support unit.
No, better
like,
yet,
like Pokken.
Fire Emblem Warriors, and it's just the Warriors.
It's just every single warrior.
Then he can make it in because he's a warrior.
You want to know what would be really funny? If there was just like an actual like warrior, like an actual Fire Emblem map, and you just only have the warriors. It's like,
there's some Fire Emblem maps where you just fight one type of like class, right?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, FE6, there's one where you just fight dragons. But like, there's got to be some other ones.
Would you pay $5 for if, like, a team of IS made, like, 10 chapters of some random Fire Emblem game, and, like, each map had a different gimmick? So it's like, this map, you have all warriors. Yeah.
Each map has a different gimmick.
Yeah. So, yeah, there we go. This time we're shoveling snow. Yeah, Ymir's hat's great. And,
he is I've here for like times. 50% of the reason he's here is the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're not even like, denying that.
No, not like he's.
I don't feel as bad about Horus anymore. I don't think Horus gives anything to Chris. That's a plus one in my book.
Wow. Okay.
He's like, Chris, you don't need anything. You can have my lance that you're probably gonna take.
But Ymir is real cool. I want to use him if we ever draft him. I kind of want to use him.
Hey, don't worry. If we depending on whatever game we play, he's in both. He also shows up really late in both. So
yep.
Don't worry.
Fire.
I think you get less. Okay. In FE in Shadow Dragon, I think there's more chapters you can use him. Solely for in FE12, I'm pretty sure the last 5 chapters you have to do in a row, and I don't think you can grab units from like, I think you pick all the units you want from the start, and then you don't get the option to switch.
You're number 4.
For number 4, this is mostly I'd say a Heroes pick, I guess.
Ooh.
So for number 4, I have Roderick. I seem to remember getting a shit ton of Rodericks and Heroes. Like, I think I have a... Let me double check. I think I have a +2 Roderick.
Nice.
Like, I think he's +2.
Using Luke? Come on now.
No, I never pulled any Lukes. So that's a +1 from me. Roderick?
Why don't you have
Luke? Throw him in, like, the reserves?
Oh yeah, I did that too.
Did I put my... Oh my gosh, I think my Roderick's in my reserves. Let me go check. Why is he there? I'm like, well, my Roderick's not there. My Heroes pick. I've lost him. There he is! He's +2.
Nice.
I didn't even know he was in there. I didn't know I threw merged units in there. Yeah, I have a +2, +speed Roderick. He's got his perf lance that was added. He's got life and death, and he's got lunge.
Nice.
Because he has a fire sweep lance. I think I pulled. Did I pull 2 Rodericks? I don't remember if I pulled 2. Yeah, I think I pulled 2 Rodericks on his launch banner. And then I think I pulled an Athena, and I didn't pull any of the other ones. Which is weird because he was the only blue unit on that, and it was like a 3 red banner. And I pulled the blue unit twice. So that's why I guess I have him.
He's got an amazing base strength of 6.
Well, I mean, he's the starting cav, and he's the starting green cav, I think. So I think I used him in FE3 for a while, but like when I say used him, I mean he was like there as like I guess the guy to train, but he was just outclassed by Sirius in almost every regard. Yep. So it wasn't really like he was amazing. I do like his art in Heroes because he's got like really long pant flaps, and I think pant flaps are dope.
Yeah,
and it's not just because Kirito has pant flaps. Like coat pant flaps. What are they called? They have names. It's not quite like a long coat because it's split in the middle, so it's I guess a little different. Whatever, they're cool. I like those. I don't think I normally use the green calves, or do I? I like Alan, and then I think I like Kyle better just because Kyle's actually useful, and so he's a green calf. Christmas calves are kind of mediocre. Oh, I like Abel more than Cain, just because my Cains have all been shit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what about Abel?
Cain with his 2 blank level ups. I'm like, wow, this guy's amazing.
Who's the Christmas cab in Free Houses?
They don't really have one because they're all like good. Like yeah. Sylvain's the one that'll like usually turn out either really good or mediocre, but like he'll always be useful because of Swift Strike. Ferdinand can become an absolute legend if he's not a Cavalier. He can still be good as a Cavalier because he also gets Swift Strike, I'm pretty sure. And then like Dimitri's only a Cavalier till like post time skip. Then it's like, well, why do I need to be a Cavalier? And then I guess Leone's kind of a Cavalier, but
when I played FE12 earlier, I had Archer Roderick for a little bit.
Was he really good? I know. He's probably better than Ryan.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but Ryan even I keep with trying. E-rank. Ryan I keep trying, you know, like
I don't know.
Speaking of number 4 deal, can you guess?
Is it Ryan?
It is Ryan.
I don't know. Why is Ryan here? He's like Gordon, but even worse. And you get you get both of them at the start of FP3. It's like, why bother using Ryan? He's like a worse version of Gordon.
So when I was younger, when I was playing Fire Emblem 12, you know...
Why would you use Ryan over Gordon?
So I saw... Well, my dumb ass just accidentally picked this one. I was like, alright, well... And then I did see Gordon later on, and I was like, oh man, Gordon's great. But like, Ryan is just really bad. Yeah, that's what puts him on.
He's like Rolf, except he actually has a better join time.
Yeah, but like you can meme with him. Like what I've done before is like Armor Knight Ryan.
Well, I mean that doesn't seem bad. It just kind of seems like not very effective because of the low move. At least, in FE3, archers have the same movement type as Armor Knights, so they're even worse.
Well, like, here's the thing, right? I'd rather have that archer slot open. Like, if I'm going to bring Ryan, he's not going to be my archer, but he can be an Armor Knight.
Yeah, but archers are actually kind of okay in that game. So you're making them an Armor Knight so that they're just slightly worse.
So I can use somebody
else. I made Ryan my Armor Knight and Roderick my Ryan.
Yeah, exactly. But he joins in chapter 1. See, that's the thing.
They both join in chapter 1.
Availability, Neil. Like,
Gordon's also there. You have, like, better options already.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't put Gordon on this.
You could have made Drog the Armor Knight, the archer. That would have probably been better. He would have probably doubled some guys.
I mean, you're right. But...
You're right when you're right, but still.
Yeah, we're gonna get like Summer Ryan. Just gonna be like, oh. It's like, no, we're not getting a Gordon Alt. We're just getting all these green hair archers.
Get another green haired archer. We have quite a bit of green haired archer alts. The only issue is their base versions aren't in the game.
Because we already have
Gordon. They don't want to confuse people. It's like, wait, what do you mean we have more bad green haired archers? What?
We're just putting them on
horses to make them different.
You want to read his ending? Hear his ending?
Does he have a paired ending with Chris?
No, I don't think so. That would be really funny. His just normal ending. Is it Ryan stayed?
Chris was just removed from the history books, so he can't really have paired endings. Yeah.
Not canon.
I would have thought female Chris would have had paired endings with some of the archers, because they seemed like that was a really important thing to add.
Yep.
I think the chicks in Japan were just kind of hot for Wolf. They just kind of wanted that. Dude was edgy.
He had
purple hair and it was over one eye.
Ryan stayed in Altea and joined the Temple Knights. Though young, he did his absolute best as a knight.
So were these?
It's like Ignatz, but worse.
This is just like every male archer ending. Like Will, he like. Helped the Kalian Knights or something, and like either retired and like married Rebecca or something, and just had Will or Walt, and that was just awkward. It's like, oh wow, that's a great ending. Oh, actually, I think he might have an ending with Dart where they just go pirating or something.
Ryan's worse than Gordon, but
he tried.
He's still.
Best.
He did his best, and if he ever shows up in Heroes, it's time. He shows up with like a damage reduction weapon.
Doesn't he? Isn't it like the difference between their official arts and FE12 is like Gordon's wearing actual pants and Ryan's just in short shorts?
Yep.
Like, isn't that part of the difference? It's like, wow, he just doesn't wear pants. Cool. Wears shorts.
This guy wears shorts.
He's like trainer. What is it? Trainer Sam from like Red Fire or whatever, where he talks about eating shorts or something, or no, not eating shorts. He likes wearing shorts. That guy, except like he just like got dumped into like a Fire Emblem game, dyed his hair green, and became an archer. I mean, if you can't throw Rattatas out of balls at kids, he might as well be like an archer, right?
Youngster Ryan would like to battle. Anyways, Neil, you're number three.
Oh yeah, number three. I have Gordon. Remember how you were like meaning about someone like earlier? For number three, I have Ertzel.
Ertzel? Oh yeah. Ertzel. Yeah.
Like,
better Knas.
Like Knas, but like. Version 2, I guess?
Yep.
He's got red hair now. And he's a druid in a game where dark magic isn't really a thing. It's just kind of like anima, but like... Yeah, I don't think they give you very many dark magic, do they? He just uses anima tomes. Huh.
No.
Yep. His swarm's just normal. I think the only anima... Like, I don't think you get access to dark magic. So I guess he's just a staff bot. but in FE12, he joins in the desert map. He's just there. And he's like, oh, I'll help you, I guess. In Shadow Dragon, you have to kill a bunch of units to get his guide map. And then he's in like some random-ass castle map. And to recruit him, you just don't kill him.
Yep.
You just don't move into his range. He doesn't move. As long as you don't walk into his attack range, it won't do anything. And then you just, oh, you seized the castle. I guess I'll join you. And it's like, okay, why are you here? Like, you were red 2 minutes ago. You just decided, oh no, they've seized the gate. I guess I'm blue. Like, why don't the other units do that? Some of them have really good stats.
If Ertzel were to join Fire Emblem Heroes now,
he'd be like Knas with a little more stats, and then it'd be like, oh wow, he's like Knas, but like slightly better. Whoa! And then Knas gets a perf, and they'll be like, wow, Ertzel is just like Knas, but worse because he doesn't have a perf. even though Canass is like right now just worse Ray because Ray has
Canass's stats are so bad though.
Okay, right now Canass is just a worse version of Ray because Ray has a perk and their stats are very similar. I think the only difference is Canass, I think, has a little more res. I think. I think that's the only difference, and like, you know, obviously he doesn't have access to like he doesn't have easy merge ability. He's like more expensive Ray. Like, when you're an expensive Ray, that's like a bad thing to be, because Ray's kind of terrible. Hey, at least Ray has Cav effectiveness, I think. I think his tome's still effective against Cav. Oh, wait. Brave Lysithia is a thing. I guess he has no point in this game anymore. You can get one of those for free if you want. And she's been on multiple Sparkable banners. Yeah, with Ray, you have to spend, like, feathers. And you have one for free from the start of the game. Yeah, I think Urzel's kind of cool because he has a monocle. That's about it.
I mean,
there's only two dudes with monocles. Wait, there's three guys with monocles, and only two of them are cool.
Monocle banner? Wait, who's the other guy?
Hanneman.
Oh, Hanneman? Really? You don't like Hanneman?
Nah, I don't. I've never used Hanneman. The other guys have been like, yo, I'm going to use these guys because they have monocles. I forgot Hanneman had a monocle, so clearly it wasn't very good.
That one where Edsel, that one cypher art where Edsel's picking up the doll. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Good old. yeah.
I just like him because it's like, whoa, it's a druid. Those are cool. He's like the only playable druid. And then you remember. Yeah. Oh, wait. Salem existed. Salem's got that slot from first.
Joins druid. In chapter 9 of New Mystery of the Emblem, which is the like really long desert map.
That's not the really long desert map. That's the one before the really long desert map, I think. Yeah. The really massive desert map, you only get like Jake. And there's a Zelda reference in the original game. They took that out in FE12.
Yeah, see, FE12 is superior.
Clearly not. They took out Link. Link was in the game. And so, then he was gone. And that was weird.
So for my number three, we gotta do a little bit of a history lesson. Neil, can you name all of the original Fire Emblem games?
What do you mean?
So are you a Fire Emblem fan?
Do I have to name all the games?
Name every single Fire Emblem game from Fire Emblem 1 to Fire Emblem Phracia 776.
So FE1 is Shadow Dragon and the Blade of Light. Yes. Gaiden. There's FE3, and then there's the BS like satellite Satellaview, like Arcanea Chronicles or whatever.
Fire Emblem Arcanea Saga.
It's like there's three chapters or something, and they're like post game like trial maps in FE12.
You get really wacky art for all these characters, but there's an exclusive character.
Man,
who's in FE12?
You talk about the Satellaview, and then you forget they had a alternate universe version of what's it called? A Link to the Past, where you play as the kids from like the Satellaview. So you just play as like a dude with like a baseball cap in like A Link to the Past.
Oh yeah.
Does that fit in the timeline? What timeline is that in? Oh yeah,
these
the portraits from FE3 style art.
These portraits, they're quite great.
You didn't even play the BS game, and you're just talking about the
I'm talking about it because Fire Emblem Arcanea Saga. We just had to like go for that history lesson. All right, so there's a certain two characters. I only put the one on the list, but the other one's a part of it too. But he's not on the list.
You
because
talked about the other one on some other list, didn't you?
Who, Malice?
Yeah.
No.
I'm pretty sure we talked about Malice at some point.
Well, on top.
She was on some other list. I think it was like character you units wanted I want in Heroes, Heroes, maybe.
Yeah, most likely. Anyways, no, my number three is Malice again. Talk about the best design in Fire Emblem.
You put the other one in the chat. You're not even going to acknowledge it?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. To revert, to go back to Dice, all right?
We talked about Dice on this show before, and we were like, wait a minute. Yeah. Dice is Malice's dad?
Yeah. But Dice has one quintessential design flaw. Neil, can you guess it?
He's got a hat on?
Specifically, he has a hat with horns.
But is he ever described as being a Viking?
But if he wanted to be a Viking, he can't be, because that's not historically accurate.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, there is the one thing. Viking hats, some of them had horns, but they're just not like that. Some of them had points on the top, I'm pretty sure, but that's just like a normal thing.
But they're very impractical.
I think those are more.
You don't want to give your enemy helmets? Something to hold on to.
Yeah. The Viking helmets with horns, those are ritual helmets. They weren't actually used for combat because of how impractical they were.
Yeah. Anyways, Malice, one of the best designs in Heroes, Fire Emblem.
It's Nyla after. It's Nyla before and after Nyla.
Like, it's like, yes.
We took the wolf queen you liked from Radiant Dawn. We took away the wolf part, which I guess the furries liked, and gave her a sword.
Exactly.
Whoa.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure you get them right before the like desert map. You know, the really bad one that it's all desert tiles.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, no longer has the link.
Yeah. There we go. I love her design. I used her in Heroes or in Fire Emblem 12 before, good old like chapter 10.
Right before the desert map. Woo! She's like Athena, but she actually joins earlier and after, because Athena joins for like two maps in the prologue if you pick the right yes or no option.
Because Fire Emblem 12 is such a good game.
Like, hey, Chris, are you finding it pretty easy? Katarina asks, yes or no.
Yes or no.
It's like, no. Here's a George, maybe? I don't know. I think it's George or Athena. George. No, it's not George or Athena. You fight George or Athena, and if you beat George, you get Gordon instead.
Also, here's a fun fact for you, Neil. Malice comes equipped with a Lady Blade, which is great, and a Levin Sword. So
I don't think she does very good with that, but I guess...
No, well, the Levin Sword somebody else can use.
Yeah, you give that to, like, Weirs, you know, the Swordsmaster.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, if you're not bringing out Swordsmaster Weirs whenever we do a draft, I'm gonna be disappointed.
Swordsmaster? Or do you want Berserker Weirs? Which one's more meme-y?
I don't know. Does he have axes? My thought is, if you make him a swords master, he's gonna be really fast, and he can double with a Levin sword. I don't know if his growths will allow, but if he can get more magic still, then he might be useful.
I used swords master Gordon once. That was fun. But yeah, Malice, I just tend to use every time, and I just really
how
like
many
her
times
design.
Have you played the game, like? Three times? And you've beaten it once?
A couple of times. I've only ever beaten it once.
It's one of those things where you have to remember you made it halfway through the game, because she's like kind of late.
Yeah.
She's not too late as to like, you know, not use. It's just kind of like if you're playing, I guess, optimally, the only slots you have left are for like staff bots, I would assume. Because, like, she's, like, at the start of the, the start of the Henri's Way, I think?
Yep.
So.
She also has one of the best Cypher arts, in my opinion, because it's so just different. I quite like it.
I mean, there's also that cool-ass Athena art, where she's, like, a pirate.
Oh yeah, that one's good too. But you know, Malice has purple hair. Malice is my favorite female swordsmaster.
She's Nyla too, and will forever Nyla be too. The better Nyla.
The better Nyla, because she's not a furry, but with a big ass sword. Neil,
you're number two. Number two. So this is actually one of the units I used in FE3.
Ooh.
Oh man. I have down Fina, because she's the first dancer, and nice. I like dancers to come.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it. She's a dancer. Yeah, right. Fina's cool. Yo, okay, so she can use swords, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, it's weird, because dancers could use swords all the way up until, like, FE6, where they just couldn't use weapons. And then they kept that till, like, FE12, I guess? They kind of had it, and you could use cards in FE10, but that doesn't really count. And then they brought it back in FE12 and just kept it, I guess, because, you know, it was a remake. In FE3, so there's things called star shards, which boost your growth rates, unlike they do in FE12. So you can use these star shards to cap out Fina's strength and speed.
Yeah.
I didn't do that because I used Fina as a dancer like she's supposed to. But you can do it, and that's hilarious. you can do that with other characters as well. You can make Zane just straight up a sword unit instead. I like how FE3 has all these units that are just like kind of bad. Unlike in FE12, where the units are just normal, because everyone's just kind of basic in that game. Dancers were first introduced there, and they were good, and it was nice to have them for, like, the long haul. I'm pretty sure... I don't remember... I think this is in FE12. I think the rapier is, like, Marth Fina locked. I think it's locked in those two units. Another fun thing. I went to Serenus Forest to remember the units in the game. And it's kind of fun, but on FE12, they have Navarro listed as Navarro because of his... That's his Navarro. Old translated name. And it's Navarro. Just... I don't know why that's kept. It's like Navarro, but they spell it like with a B and stuff. It's like Navarro. I don't know why it's there, because Shadow Dragon came out before, so they have his translated localized name. I don't know why they didn't use it. They just grabbed, like, the FE3 book or something and used those names. That's weird. But yeah, she joins with Navarre, and it's kind of like a similar scenario to what would be done in the following game better in FE4 with Levin and Sylvia, where they're in a forest and they gotta kill a bunch of thieves. Except in FE4, you have Levin, who's a cool mage with, like, a cool hat with a feather. And then instead you just get the edgy swordsmaster, Myrmidon dude, you get in every game.
Yeah. So,
not as cool, I guess. They can both use swords. It's just Sylvia kind of sucks at combat. But, I mean, Fina does as well, so... I guess, you know, it runs in the family. All dancers kind of not great at combat.
No, they're not. Not the greatest. I still remember my 20 HP Azura. Like,
oh, that's a staple. In endgame. That's staple. She
low HP.
She's like... what is it? Level 19 Azura? No, level 15 Azura with 19 HP, and you're like, did I get unlucky with the HP level ups? Nope, it's just Fates.
Yeah.
Fates, everyone has bad hit points, except for, like, Azama. That's about it. Oh, and maybe Benny? And anyone who was in Fighter for, like,
a
level up. So.
So, Neo, that was your number. Yeah, my number two. Yeah. First of all, we should probably quickly take a look-see here. Or do we have bonus content? We do have bonus content.
That's fun.
To look forward to. So look forward to that. Neil, my number two. Final Fantasy is a video game series, video game franchise that has a certain kind of trope. And that trope is having a female character you just kind of meet be super important to the plot or randomly have a backstory in the game. So of course you know who I'm talking about, Neil. No. I'm talking about Fire Emblem 12's true main character, Katarina. Or should I say, Neil, did you know that her real name is Rhys?
I think I
because she went undercover. So yeah, she
my favorite part about Katarina.
Yeah,
she is a tome in Awakening that's like a Thunder Tome with more crit. It's called Katarina's Bolt.
Yep,
that's about it. Also, she has a nice Awakening art where she's in the Grandmaster outfit. That's also kind of nice.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. The female Grandmaster
outfit's kind of hot.
I quite like the traditional Fire Emblem 12, like no eyes, like crying because she betrayed.
Do you remember Marth's art where he has eyes? That's creepy shit.
Oh man, I don't know, like. So yeah, the reason why Katarina is up here is because I was reading this when I was a kid and I was like, what the fuck?
Did you even recruit her or did you just kill her? Because the recruitment's kind of confusing. You had to talk to her like three times.
Like three times, yeah. I might have killed her, but I remember looking it up because I always looked at the characters. But yeah, she's kind of neat. I really like her design. I think the more I kind of go on, the more I age, the more I look back she's at like Katarina and go like, yeah. But she's got a story, Neil.
I like Lute's story better. She just wanted to burn things as target practice. That's kind of it's kind of cool. And she is superior after all.
Yeah, but Neil, Katarina goes undercover to assassinate Prince Marth and then couldn't do it in the end.
And then leaves and then doesn't show up for a while and then just gets recruited.
And then just gets recruited when her mother dies. And then
she becomes a staff bot.
Yeah,
she's recruited before her mom dies.
Oh yeah. And then
you go kill her mom, and her mom's like a terrible map with meteor tones.
Yeah, it's one of the best maps.
Okay, I don't think the meteor tones in normal mode. Never mind, you never got to experience that.
Yeah, no, never.
I think she just has like a Thoron or something, and that's it. I think Lunatic, she has two meteor tones or something. This is just crazy. It's either she has two or there's like another dude with a meteor tone, which is just like, why?
And like you said, she's in Fire Emblem Awakening as a Grandmaster.
Mm-hmm. And she gets a tome, which is kind of interesting that she actually gets something.
I don't know. I quite like your story because it's just kind of like, it's really like sappy goodness in Fire Emblem 12 that makes it even more cheesy.
My favorite part is that Chris is like actually plot relevant, so it's just really awkward because you're like, I wouldn't say that.
Oh shit.
Chris is breaking my avatar like motif because he's talking about his grandfather. I don't know his grandfather. He sounds more interesting than Chris.
Yo, legendary hero Chris's grandpa.
Can it actually just be like one of the generic old men that are in like the villages? Can he just be the money man from like FE6 or just that portrait with the big mustache?
All right, Neil, you're number one.
Okay, number one.
Fire Emblem character.
So for number one, I have a guy that looked kind of cool. And he's kind of interesting in FE3, but I didn't have the slot for him in FE3, so I didn't use him. I have down Elrion. He looks like Alucard. But he's blonde.
You know what? I almost put him on my list because I was like, oh man, he's kind of cool. Like,
he's like Alucard, but like a mage. And his recruitment's kind of annoying because he wants to kill Merrick really, really bad. Yes. But to recruit him, you just don't kill him. That's not a hard recruitment, right? Except he's trying to kill Merrick, so, you know, you have to worry about that. So in FE3, he's actually kind of interesting because he has, like, a 30% defense growth, which you'd say, that's not that much, except I'm pretty sure that's the highest defense growth in FE3. I think it's, like, him and I want to say... Okay, Roche... No, that's FE... Is that FE3? Yeah, this is FE3. Roche has 30%. Ellerian has 30%. Sirius. And that... And Julian. That's it. Everyone else has lower than a 30% defense growth, unless I missed someone, which I don't think I did. So that makes him interesting because no one's gonna use Roche. So aside from Sirius, he's got like the highest defense growth in the game. Which is kind of interesting because he's a mage.
Yeah, so then you that's the fun
shards in FE3, which aren't in FE12, and then you can cap his defense stat.
Or you can reclass him, because that's not an FE3. And you can reclass him into a paladin.
Because he's got a 10% strength growth, because there's no magic growth in that game. Wait a minute.
wait. It's okay. Reclass him into an armor knight. There we go. And just
is strength magic in that game? It might be. Maybe. I think it's only FE1 where strength wasn't a thing. Or wait, where's Linde? She's a 20%, so it's probably strength and magic's the same thing, I would assume. You'd think they wouldn't go back on that after the second game in the series having magic growth, but...
Good old Alucard.
He just looks like Alucard, and he's got the Thoron Tome, which isn't really a special tome. It just means he has B rank, I think. Or A rank. In FE12, did they change it so that he can use it at a lower weapon rank? I think they did that. It's like, Ellerian can use it at, like, D rank, but I assume he starts with at least C. Everyone else has to be, like, B or A rank to use it. I don't remember if they did that. Because I know Merrick, they made it so Merrick can use Excalibur at, like, D rank and everyone else requires B. And then I think Linde has the same thing with Nosferatu. But I also think they made Nosferatu female locked. Which is weird. Because, like, it's the tanky tome, but it's female locked. So.
Yeah. So, Neil, we come to my number one, which I don't know if you can guess her or them.
Oh boy. Is it not even a playable character?
Is it female? Well, I mean, okay, in your eyes, no. But in every casual's eyes, yes. Did that give you a hint?
I don't know if you. Like, I'm thinking of the guy where there's like a bunch of them, but he's not Legion? Playable. Yeah.
Well, no, he's not playable.
No.
Who do you think? Who did I just recently plus 10 in Fire Emblem Heroes?
You recently plus 10 someone in Fire
Emblem Heroes? Yeah. Who is the better Nino in my eyes?
Wait. I thought you were going to talk about Norn.
Yeah.
Why is there she a better Nino?
Because she's doing her best.
Nino's she says that?
I don't know. she's just clumsy. She's like Annette, but like...
So nothing like Nino.
Yeah, no.
I would have assumed you just said the better Rebecca, and I would have been like, yeah, okay. Yeah. But like,
yeah, pretty much.
You know, a mage and an est, Neil, which is too...
Neil, this archer is pretty good. Neil, this archer is pretty good on normal mode.
Is she really, though? I assume she's just Gordon with, like, later join time. Or probably closer to Ryan, actually, because, like, Ryan's more of a pansy.
But she has 8 strength.
Oh, wow. 8 strength? Oh, man. Let me just look at the base stats in FE3. Wow. 8 strength? That's, like, average in this game. Yeah, she has the same base strength as Shima. Yeah. And she's an S archetype that joins way later and is in a general class.
Did you know, Neil, that there is an unused conversation for Prologue 8 where Norin says, apparently Ryan's wounds are going to heal soon. Isn't that nice?
Did Ryan die?
I don't know.
And they're just saying he's going to come back after the prologue?
Yeah. So
replaced it with Norn?
Norn's the like bonus character you get if you're playing on easy. And she's awesome. I love Norn.
Hey,
she's like...
Fun fact, if we ever do a draft of FE12, we'll probably use that patch that allows you to get those guys on not easy mode.
Nice.
Because it forces sounds all fun. The Gaiden chapters as well.
I have a +10 Norn who's just about to get power.
I think I've only pulled like 6, not even. I think I've only pulled like 5 Norns ever, and I don't think any of them have good IVs.
She also has a really awesome cipher card, in my opinion, where she can kill herself.
Oh boy!
When this unit attack fails,
Gordon.
Yeah, no, when she fails to destroy an enemy, she kills herself.
Really? That doesn't sound very good.
No, it's not
does
great.
Does she get, like, extra strength at all? Or...
she's a 2-drop if you promote her.
Does the she's promoted card have that same ability or no?
She gets +20 on your turn.
Okay, and it can that, be evaded. That's
so she
that's
goes to base 70. She goes to base 70 at least.
That's not even that good. And she can kill herself?
On turn 2.
On turn 2.
If you promote her, she's a free drop with a 2. Yeah. Even on turn 3 is fine. 70 during your turn?
Yeah. It's just like one of those things where like that's not going to be very useful when the main character is promoted and has like a space strength of 80 and then has some modifier to give him more.
Yeah, Fire Emblem Cypher. And then it's like, wow, she kills herself. But what if you're playing like an aristocrat deck where like when one of your units dies, you just get a bunch of bonuses?
I don't even know any of those decks, but there probably is some. I just don't know the characters that match that. They're probably like evil dudes.
So. Probably. Gotta bring back that Anakos deck with Sonic as the Lord.
That was just an Ankos spam deck. I don't think that had anything to do with your units dying. It was just a pain to kill your units.
It was just Anakos.
It was one of those things where it's like, wow, this makes me want to run units that are effective against dragons just so I don't have to deal with this shit.
It's like, no shit. Anyways. Neil. We are going to be right back because there is a new banner out. So we're going to watch that real quick and then talk about it. Hey, Neil.
Yeah.
We just watched the banner. Just came out. Well, trailer.
And it wasn't dark.
No.
Which is weird. We got a
mythic that's not an OC. Everybody rejoice.
I think we already called that because I don't know if we got to it, but I was going to mention that it. Probably not going to be an OC.
Yeah. So we got Ashra from Fire Woo! Emblem 10.
Yeah, Radiant Dawn.
Yeah. Neil, she's got a wall of text.
It's not that bad. It's a lot better than some units we've got. Edelgard.
Sure.
So she's a colorless... Is she a flyer or infantry? She's infantry, so she's a colorless infantry tome, which we have Bramimond. Bramimond and Zane are both infantry. She's just the third infantry colorless tome. Meanwhile, we already have a flyer, which is probably the best one. And she has Order Sentence, which grants attack plus 3 at start of combat. If unit's HP is greater than or equal to 75%, so guaranteed, or if bonus is active on unit, grants attack, speed, defense, res plus 5 to unit during combat, and grants bonuses to unit's attack during combat equal to total bonuses on ally with the highest total bonuses within two spaces. So, this is like Erica's sword, I'm pretty sure, right?
Oh, yeah.
But she just gets an extra plus 5 as well, because okay. This is just Erica's sword, except she gets plus 5 to all stats, pretty much no matter what. That's not bad, but it's also not crazy overpowered. Huh. It's tame for what I'm normally used to.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, never mind. It all goes to attack. It's a little different from Erica's sword, because Erica just gets the stats on top. This is just straight added only to attack. I don't know how useful that's going to be, because she's an offensive mythic, so it's going to be helpful for you, but normally the mythics aren't used for combat, because normally you just, like, beef up your, like, Seliph and send him in there by himself. Okay. She has attack res ideal 4, which pairs well with, you know, her weapon. It's either if she's over equal to 100% health or if bonus is active on unit, which would both match the conditions of her weapon. Grants attack res plus 7 to unit. And if both conditions are met, she gets plus 9 to attack and res. Lull speed res 3, so you no longer have to fodder either your, I think, Winter Bernadettas or either of two Lysithias. I'm pretty sure the only ones that have it. Yeah. And she has Orders Restrain. At start of combat, grants attack res plus 6 and null panic to allies within two spaces for one turn. At start of turn, if 3 or more allies are within two spaces of unit, grants attacks res plus 6 and null panic to unit for one turn. So this is like a better tactic that also grants panic immunity. So what this is also saying is, because this maps with her weapon, she's going to be getting an extra like plus 12 attack, pretty much guaranteed. Like, because it's like assuming one unit is within like the paint range. This is really good for defense teams. But this is an offense unit. This is like,
I see.
This is weird because they did the same thing. We got Dagger, right? And Dagger's got like Pathfinder, which I think would be a really annoying ability on defense maps, but they put it on offense unit. Which is like a similar thing with Orders or Restraint. I mean, sure, being able to nullify panic is kind of nice, but like people were already working on ways to like, you know, bypass panic towers, so they aren't as much of an issue anymore. Because, like, when I put myself into the map, if I check out myself, which I use on Light Season, he's going to go in with, like, what, 77 hit points or something? Like, he's only going to be hit by, like, I think, maxed out towers. So it's not as much of a threat, but I mean, having it's nice, especially for if you're tanking with not your necessarily main tank, but why are you tanking with them?
And we also got other people on this banner.
One more thing, the animation.
Okay. Oh, yes.
It's like Kamehameha. Reminiscent of like the cutscenes almost in Radiant Dawn. Except it's got weird lightning at the end, which I don't know why they didn't just make it a laser, but then it explodes. That's cool. Yeah.
So we have our banner, and the banner's pretty good, I'm going to say. We'll start with the worst color, which I'm going to go with blue.
Yeah.
Because blue has Ronan. He
has hard to fodder stuff, if memory serves right.
Legendary Azura, I still don't have one.
Yeah.
Peony, which everyone has.
Hey, look, if you really want blue dual flyer 3, You can summon blue and you have a 66% chance of pulling it?
Yep. And then we'll do red with Legendary Roy.
Woo! He got bonus doubler and that's it.
Nice. It's a merge, Neil.
Woo! My plus five.
Legendary Elwood, which I wouldn't mind getting one.
He is a very useful support unit.
Yes.
It's a lot less than Roy. And isn't.
Etzel? Azel. Azel.
Azel is here. He has actually a bunch of really good stuff.
Nice.
Yo, fun fact. I'm going to assume after this banner, Roy might be getting dropped to the eventual... he might have one more return. Maybe.
Yeah.
I think Azura is definitely getting cut from the list, and she's going to be set to return. What is it? So, January... She's going to probably return March on her remix banner. Okay. So, like, you know, like 10 months from now or something.
Yep.
Woo! That's going to be a ways away.
Yes.
And then it'd be Reed, so I think Roy does still return one more week, I guess. One more month. He's probably going to return in like September, like maybe November or something for his last hurrah. Yeah. Because I think Harid will be with Azura, if I'm not mistaken. Because Harid still has to be dumped down and he doesn't have pair up yet. So I think Azura and Harid are the last two without pair up as legendaries that haven't been demoted. Then it would be Roy and Alm, I think? Sounds right. I think they're the first two with pair up.
Yeah, I think it was Roy and Alm. And then green, we have the OC that
the
is
two OCs that were both released in the same banner.
The same banner.
They're back.
Freya and Triandre. There we go.
And then we have the brick wall that is a Dudu.
Brick house that is
the wait, it's so weird. Why is legend? Why is Brave Ike back on this banner?
Why is legendary to do here?
What is he doing here?
And then the greatest color of all time, being colorless, with female corn, who's one of the best units in the game.
Ridiculous.
Yes, legendary Claude,
who's also ridiculous.
Yes, who? Well, there's a free to play unit now that kind of breaks him, but you know what? That's fine. And the new mythic, Vianashra, who's decent.
She's a colorless mage. That's good.
Yes.
And since she's an Astra, you can... Oh, two things. One, Astra Res, really good. Because we don't have any Astra units that give Res. And Res is a really important stat in Aetherid's offense.
Yes.
Probably the most important stat to get. Second being, it's either that or speed. Also, she can replace Regan if you want. Don't know why you would want that, because like Regan's kind of good on offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she can replace your other guys, and what's it called? You know, there's always going to be a week where she's a bonus unit. And there's that weird situation where if you have, I think, the bonus, like, Astra Mythic and one of your units dies on offense, then you don't lose, like, lift? If I'm not mistaken, that's, like, it's some weird thing they added. It doesn't count in, I think, Vault of Heaven, though. So I don't know why they added that. But it's a thing, I guess. So she's going to have her use. No panic is nice for if you're trying to tank with, I don't know, legendary Corrin maybe, because her HP isn't as good. There are uses where it'll be helpful. So yeah. Colorless, really really good. Maybe I'll not. I might summon for it maybe because I have orbs available. That I would probably rather spend on colorless here than colorless on like a fallen banner or something. So
yeah, I'll probably skip.
I don't know. I might put some orbs into Kovos, because if I end up getting a female Corrin, it's like, oh, cool. That's, I guess, a merge, because get rid of my minus defense, I think?
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be bad.
Well, anyways, Neil, next month, for the month of June, we get to do our top five Fire Emblem 4 characters.
Woo! You haven't played that game.
I mean, no, but I can give you a top five.
Okay, let's see. How many characters are there in the game with twin tails? Well, I think there's more than five, so you're good.
There we go, GG. I'm going to put the weirdest fucking units.
Honestly, I don't think you can, because Teenie is going to be on there, and that's not a weird thing. Teenie's on there.
Yeah.
She's guaranteed to have a wrath, so...
Yes. You know what? I'll be like, well, here's these Fire Emblem 4 characters that I use in Fire Emblem Cypher.
The hardest thing I'm going to have with this game is deciding between some of the characters I really like in Gen 1 and some of the characters in Gen 2.
Gen 2? Because you gotta pick.
There's like three generations. There's the Gen 1, Gen 2, and then the bad Gen 2 substitutes. And they're hilarious.
Top five substitutes.
I would do that. Yo, we should do that. A top five substitutes. You can pick all the substitutes from FE4 and all those weird generic names from like FE, Shadow Dragon and New Mystery the Emblem.
What about the like random bosses?
Random names in Fate. Not the bosses, but the random named NPCs.
Yeah.
If you want, you can have a special mention to those Arringer like child units from the Deep Realms that are just like a random chance to pop up by giving some dude a hat. Because those are a thing. They're really bad because they're like level one.
Yep. That's about it. Next week, more Fire Emblem 6. Other than that, that's going to do it for today's episode of Two Thirds of Us Swords. I know it was quite a long one, but, you know, top fives tend to be a little bit longer. Other than that, you can check out...
laughing about Horus.
Oh, yeah, because Horus is great. Anyways, you can check out the show at LordsTLWS on Twitter. Neil is at Lord_Neuron. I'm at OperaZombie707. Other than that, though, we will talk to you guys again real soon. Take care.